a disgraced shepherd sees a bush burning and is not consumed by the flame and is drawn toward it and hears a voice address him out of the bush, "Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt and serve as my instrument of liberation." Moses says, "They won't believe that you sent me. Not only the Egyptians won't believe me, my own people won't believe me." And then he asks this question, "Who should I say sent me?" In the most intimate exchange in the entire Old Testament, the voice says to Moses, "You tell them Yahweh sent you. Tell them the God I am who I am. I am sent you." And Moses is astounded because God has just revealed to him the very sacred name of God, Yahweh. And to reveal, to give your name, to share your name with someone in the ancient world meant that you shared with them the very essence of who you are. God had given Moses his name, Yahweh. To this day, the Jewish people regard this holy name as so reverent, as so sacred, they will not utter it, even when they read the scripture in the synagogue. A priest goes into the temple to perform his priestly duties, and suddenly he beholds the reality of God sitting upon a throne, protected by winged holy creatures who are crying out in praise, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole world is full of his glory." And this stunned priest cries out, "Woe is me. I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm living amidst a people of unclean lips. I have seen the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of hosts." And in that outburst, he reveals how we respond to the sacred. Its holiness draws us. It has a magnetic power. But it also is so pure that it frightens us. It repels us. And we want to run away. In those two exchanges, the two most intimate exchanges in the Old Testament, we find reverence for the name of God, holiness defining the character of God, and Jesus combines these themes in one terse phrase. "Hallowed be thy name." When we pray those words, we acknowledge the sacred name of God. We acknowledge the holy character of God. But how do these themes come together in real life? My first house was a parsonage in Edgefield, South Carolina. Everybody knew where the Baptist parsonage was. Little town. Midnight one night, I hear a knocking on my door. I go to the door, and there's a young couple holding a baby. And they say to me, we don't have any money. We need some money for medicine for our child. Will you help us?" It's midnight. I go up to the ATM. I get some money out. I hand them $50. They get in their beat-up old Camaro. And I will never forget the look the young mother gave me. There was a look of pity for my gullibility. Did I believe their story? No. But if I was going to err, it was going to be the side of grace. But she looked at me with a pity of my gullibility, but there was in her eyes a desperation. She saw me as an agent of holiness. And there was a part of her that yearned out to me, deliver me from this life. She closed the car door and they drove away. I thought I had proved such an easy mark they would come back to me, but they never did. 10 years later, I happened to see a news article in an Augusta paper. That young couple was gunned down in Augusta in a drug deal gone bad. And that baby in their arms, in her arms, was now a 10-year-old ward of the state. I can still see that look. Her life cried out for holiness, cried out for deliverance. But the claim of holiness scared her, and she drove away. You could say they stole my $50, but what they really stole was their own life. When we pray, hallowed be thy name, it would seem superfluous. The name of God is already holy. God's person is already hallowed. But when we pray those words, Jesus teaches us to pray them because he wants us to ask God to include us in the process of making God's holiness manifest on earth. When we pray, hallowed be thy name, we're asking God to allow us to make holiness real in people's lives, to give holiness a human face by our words, by our actions, by our love, by our faith, by our service. We can't make God's name holy. It's already holy. But when we pray, hallowed be thy name, we're asking God to include us in the process of making God's holiness real on earth. When we pray those words, hallowed be thy name, hallowed be thy name, we are acknowledging the dimension of the sacred in our own lives. And we're saying that we are willing to embrace the discipline that it entails. It's a hard concept to communicate, so let me try it by means of analogy. On the campus of the University of Georgia, there is a black iron archway, the entrance to the old campus. As a freshman, I was told you're not to walk through that archway until you become a sophomore. Now, there's no guard at that archway. I could have sauntered right through it if I wanted to. I could have snuck through it. But I regarded that archway, and still do, as sacred ground. Sacred ground. So, I embraced the discipline of waiting until I had attained the proper status, and then I walked through that archway with satisfaction and accomplishment. The holy does not impose itself on us. It invites us to acknowledge it. It invites us to incorporate it. And when we pray that phrase, hallowed be thy name, we're saying we embrace that discipline. When we pray those words, hallowed be that name, we are acknowledging our proper status in the universe. Have you ever noticed, you ever thought about the fact that in this prayer, Jesus never says, Father, make us pious. Father, make us righteous. Father, make us more holy. No. The focus is not upon the creature. The focus is first and foremost upon the Creator. Hallowed be thy name, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Because if we desire holiness in our lives, it begins not with focus upon ourselves, but with focus upon the Holy One. And we open our being to the Holy One in acknowledgement of His sacredness. That holiness begins to flow into us. It begins to define us. Our holiness begins not with focus upon ourselves, but upon our Creator. We are mere creatures. When we pray those words, hallowed be thy name, we are acknowledging the otherness of God. The otherness of God. We are just images made in the image of the Creator. When I come to this phrase, I can't help but think of a great drama written by the great poet W.H. Auden, in which he has a conversation between Herod and Jesus, and Herod says these words, I don't want a God who's extraordinarily different from me. I don't want a God who's difficult to approach. I want a God like me. I want a God like me that I can recognize easily. No. When we pray those words, hallowed be thy name, we recognize the otherness of God, the sacred otherness of God, and we acknowledge we will never be who we're meant to be unless we allow the otherness of God to pull us out of ourselves toward God's holiness. When we pray those words, hallowed be thy name, we do so with an air of repentance. An air of repentance. Because we acknowledge in that phrase, the name of my boss, the name of my banker, the name of my broker, the name of my best friends, the name of my enemy, the name of my quarterback on the fantasy team, those names are much more in my mind than the name of God. When we pray the prayer, hallowed be thy name, we acknowledge that other names have dominated our mind, dominated our consciousness. If we don't pray this prayer in a prayer with an air of repentance, we don't really pray it at all. We're saying, Lord, connect me back to the source of my life. We acknowledge there have been times this week we paid no attention to the very one who gave us our being. And so when we pray that phrase, hallowed be thy name, we ask God to reorder our priorities rightly, to recommit our lives properly. And we do so in an air of repentance. To pray those phrases, to say those words every week, hallowed be thy name. We're asking God to allow us to be instruments of making God's holiness real. And it's a commitment. It's a commitment. You and I can't say the words, God, make us holy, and then go out and live unholy lives. We can't say the words of petition, hallowed be thy name, and then live a life opposite the will of God. We can't pray, hallowed be thy name, and then be selfish and brutish and graceless. To say that phrase commits us to embrace a life patterned after the holiness of our Christ. And it means that we're asking God to allow us to participate in the dimension of ultimate meaning. Now that sounds nebulous. To participate in the dimension of ultimate meaning. But holiness is not some nebulous theological concept. Holiness is not some ethereal notion. It is something gritty and mundane and real through acts of faith and love and service and sacrifice in the midst of everyday life. I expect quite a few of you here have seen Indiana Jones and the Search for the Holy Grail. Remember how it ends? Indiana Jones finds the place where all the chalices are kept, and he's about to enter in, and the villain elbows him out of the way and sees one of the most beautiful chalices and grabs it and dips up water and drinks it and dies a gruesome death. Indiana Jones looks among the chalices and finds one that is rough-hewn and soiled and ugly. And he says, "This is the cup of a carpenter. And out of this cup he drinks." Holiness is not glitzy and beautiful. It's nitty gritty, mundane acts of love and service and sacrifice and faith in everyday life. In everyday life. 1999, very prestigious British literary journal, challenged the British reading public to elect the greatest novel of the 20th century to the magazine's amazement. By an overwhelming majority, the British readers chose a children's novel, Lord of the Rings, as the greatest novel of the 20th century, a fantasy book about hobbits and elves and dwarves and orcs. What does that say about the human heart? It says that we yearn to be aligned with forces of good to make a cosmic difference against the power of evil. When we pray that phrase, "Hallowed be that name," we're asking God to align us with the forces of good and include us in the actions of good against the forces of evil to make a cosmic difference. That is what we really mean when we pray, "Hallowed be thy name." May we pray together. Lord, we bear your name, Christian. May we live worthy of the image of Christ. May our Lord's revelation of what your holiness means help define our priorities. Help define the path that we should take each day, that truly we might bring sacredness into our world. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.